Okay. Hi. Wow. Came in a little hot there. I'm looking right at the screen, and right off the bat, it was bam. It popped. Right off the bat, I'm giving Chris over at Marmalade Music trouble with my levels. Hi. Welcome to the show. Hi. How are you? What's going on where you are? I hope you're well. Welcome to People Pleaser. This is it. It's a mini-sode. You saw that. You clicked on the episode. You saw that it's a mini-sode. No guest. It's just me and you. It's just me and you and the TikTok folks. They're here. We're on TikTok. We're chatting. It's the mini-sode. Hi. Welcome. Right now it's Sunday for me. It might be Thursday morning for you. It might be Friday. It might be Saturday. Could be any day of the week, really. We don't know. We have no way of knowing. It could be next year. You could be just getting to this episode sometime next year. Wherever you are, whenever you are, hello, welcome. It's People Pleaser. It's me. It's Austin. Let's do some stuff before we get in here. First things first. Let's take care of some business. Let's get this out of the way at the top. Okay. I said thank you last week. One thank you's not going to cut it. Okay. I got to say thanks again. The record sales have kept rolling in. People keep going over to AustinArcherMusic.bandcamp.com and buying my TikTok album. Now that's what I call a bunch of Austin Archer's TikTok songs compiled into an album volume 2. And every time I see it, every time you send me one of those messages, it really, really does get to me. I want you to know that if you're buying the album and you're sending a message and you're saying something like, hey, thanks for making this, or thanks for your songs, they mean a lot to me. Whenever you send me one of those messages, I get that in my email and I read every single one of them. And so you are getting through. In fact, most of the time that you reach out to me, I see it. I'm not a person with an assistant who reads my messages. I read those messages. People always reach out on Instagram, on DM, or on TikTok, and they'll say like, you probably get a lot of these. You probably won't see this, but I just wanted to say, I see it. I always see it. I always see it. Keep reaching out. I always appreciate it. I don't always respond. There's a lot. If I was responding to each individual person, I would be having too many individual personal conversations with strangers on a weekly basis. And unfortunately, I don't have quite enough time for that. But I do read it. It does matter to me. And I want to take the time on the podcast to say, if you're out there listening and you're one of these people who has sent a message, boy, I appreciate you. If you're one of the people that's headed over to AustinArcherMusic.bandcamp.com and picked up my album. Now that's what I call a bunch of Austin Archer's TikTok songs compiled into an album volume 2 or volume 1 or my album Beautiful Things or any of my albums that are over there at any point. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Speaking of things I appreciate, patreon.com/AustinArcher. Did you know that there was a Patreon? Did you know? Are you somehow listening to this podcast right now and unaware that there's a Patreon? It might be your first time listening to the show. We get newcomers almost every week these days. I feel like I'm getting newcomers every week, which is great. We're on an uptick, folks. For those of you who have been listening, for those of you who have been here, for the real ones, we got some new friends here. Okay? We got new company. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time. So if this is your first time listening to the show, hi, welcome. Welcome to People Pleaser with Austin Archer. I hope that if this is your first episode, I hope it's a good experience. I would recommend maybe going over to one of the guest episodes. Not that this isn't going to be a killer episode. I feel like I do a good job when it's just me. I feel like that's like where my strength is. But like, go listen to one of my guests. I've got stuff that I've got smart people that come in and talk about important things usually. But if you're here, hi. What we're talking about right now is Patreon. Patreon.com/AustinArcher. My patrons and I are in love with each other. I don't know if they're in love with me. I'm in love with them, is more like it. They're supportive. They support me. I maybe make them feel a little uncomfortable with how open I am about my platonic love for them. But it is deep and it is real. And if you want in on that, you can get in on it. You don't have to hold back. We're ready for you. Patreon.com/AustinArcher. We got 3 levels. If you have the means and you would like to support the show and the content that I make online and just my overall internet universe of content, head on over there and join the fun. You know, here's how I like to treat my Patreon patrons. I think my favorite thing about what goes on over there that you don't get anywhere else is I treat my Patreon patrons like producers and investors in the show. So most commonly, I'll be reaching out to my Patreon patrons and asking them for advice. Like, I'll have a piece of content that I'm thinking about posting to YouTube or to Instagram or to TikTok, and I'll drop it on the Patreon and I'll say, what do you guys think of this? I'm a little bit nervous about this, that, or the other thing. And then I'll let them give their feedback. And oftentimes I will incorporate their notes into whatever the piece of content is. So it's I want my Patreon patrons to feel like they're part of the creative process and that I value their feedback. And I do. It's because I do, because I'm in love with them. And that's it. That's the Patreon spiel. Sometimes I read off all of their names, even though there's a lot of them. I'm not doing that today. I just wanted to take a moment to let them know that I love them and that you can join them if you want. So other thing I wanted to do, I haven't done this in a few episodes, and because we got all these new listeners, we're getting more of these. This is one of my favorite segments, and one of these days, I'm going to write a stinger for this. It's going to be like a little musical stinger, and it's going to go, review the review, or review the review, maybe both. Review the review. And if you're a frequent listener of the show, at this point, you're going, Austin says this all the time. He always says that he's going to do a musical stinger for this segment. He never does. It's becoming a bit that he keeps saying he's going to make a musical stinger and he doesn't do it. Just, hey, I'm gonna do it, okay? All right? It's not a bit. It's just I'm busy. I'm gonna do it, okay? One of these days you're gonna be listening to the show and it's gonna happen and you're gonna go, oh my God, he did it. I was wrong. And when that day happens, I want you to message me and I want you to say, I apologize for thinking you weren't gonna do it, Austin. And I'm gonna say, it's okay. It's okay. But for now, it's review the review, review the review. And the way that this works is you go over to Apple Podcasts. You look up People Pleaser with Austin Archer. You give the show a 5-star review. It has to be 5 stars or I won't read it. You give it a 5-star review and then you write whatever the hell you want. I read the review on the show and I review your review back, okay? We're going to do 2 of them today because we got a whole bunch of new ones and they're really fun. And 2 of them that I'm going to read have the same title, which I think is fun. So first, from July 30th, 2021, the title is Wonderful! 5 stars. It's got to be 5 stars. And this is from Dude and the Missing Rugs, who writes, like so many others, I found Austin on TikTok and just started listening to this podcast, and I think it's great. It's hard to tackle some of the hard issues that this podcast takes on, but I am glad that I found it and that Austin is going for it. Okay, I love this review. I read this and I thought this was really fun. I love when people unintentionally give backhanded compliments, and I genuinely believe that this person, that dude in the missing rugs, was not trying to give a backhanded compliment. That's why I like it, because I genuinely feel this person was trying to be like, I really like that Austin goes after hard things. But I read this, my insecure ass reads this, and here's what I read is, it's really hard to tackle some of these issues, and I think it's like admirable that Austin tries. Meaning like, yeah, it's hard. Like, he's going after some hard stuff and like he doesn't succeed, but like it's cool that he tries. And I love that. And that might be what that person's saying. And I like it. I like the directness that they're like, you know what's fun about this podcast is like he's attempting some big things. He's making some big, like some big swings at some big issues. He's getting nowhere near to hitting the mark, but that does not deter him. He is undeterred by his failure, and I love it. I love it. This is a fantastic review. And if that's not what you meant by it, that's I believe in your pure intent with which you wrote this review, and I appreciate it. And I like that my brain reads it, and I'll always interpret it. I'll always interpret negative intent if I can. I'll always find some way to make it somehow a dig at me. So we're gonna read one more. This is from July 16th, 2021. You see, we've gotten all the way through August without anyone writing a review. So get on there, newcomers, or those of you who have been around for a long time and just have never written a review. Go over to Apple Podcasts, give the show 5 stars, write a review. I'll read the review on the show and review you back. This is another one. The title is Wonderful! 5 stars. But still, the title is Wonderful. 5 stars from JC Weit. I didn't read it correctly, their name. And that's okay. Who writes, if you don't know this guy, welcome. I found him on TikTok and now listen to his wonderful music and happy to have found his podcast. Can't wait to see what he does next. Simple, sweet. We're getting the TikTok traffic finally. 700,000 TikTok audience members, 700,000 TikTok watchers, and we struggled with just getting just over 1,000 podcast listeners, you know? I feel like we can get that up to 10,000, right? We can get this podcast up to 10,000. We're going to do it. We can do it. And we can do it with more people playing the review game. I like this review. It's sweet. It tells you where they found the content, tells you that they came from TikTok. They tried out the longer form content. They liked the longer form content, and they're excited for what comes next. Play the game. Go over to Apple Podcasts, review the review. 5 stars. Write whatever you want. You can literally roast me. You can write whatever you want. You could write the lyrics to like a very long song, and I would have to read the entire thing. As long as it's 5 stars. Get over there. I challenge you. Make it interesting. Write it like you're writing like a really scathing Yelp review. Let's make it fun. Okay, so that's our top of the show business. To everyone who's hung on this long, who's like, what's the topic? What is the topic? What are we talking about? We finally, at long last, reached that point of the show. Just so you know, we've only been recording for a little over 12 minutes, so like, you're being a little dramatic, just so you know. If you're freaking out, calm down. We're getting into the meat of the show, a little over 10 minutes into the thing. It's fine. Here's what I wanted to talk about. I went down to the Santa Monica Pier yesterday. Our friend Connor's in town. We took him down to Santa Monica, kind of watched the twilight, you know, like, well, sunset hour on the beach, took a stroll on the pier. It's very crowded. It was a Saturday night, the most crowded I've ever seen the pier. Little uncomfortable. People were masked up. We were masked up. But, you know, there's the street performers on the pier, which is fun. It's fun to see people singing, dancing, doing fun things that you don't really see in, like, other performance venues. But on this particular Saturday, it was overrun with the preachers, you know, with the people who somehow have gotten the notion that the best way to save souls and to prove to God that you deserve to go to heaven is to, like, scream at strangers who are just, like, passing by trying to get funnel cake and ice cream on a pier about how they're going to hell for teaching their children curse words. And I mean, like, screaming, you know, like, into a microphone with a speaker, just screaming about how hell is real and Satan is real and how you're a tool of Satan and you're teaching your kids to be Satan's minions and they're going to hell. And, like, somehow these people are like, this is how I'm going to prove to God that I deserve to go to heaven, is I'm going to just scream at families as they're just trying to enjoy their Saturday. They're just going by and I'm just going to get in their face and scream at them. And God's going to go, that's my dude. That's my dude right there. That dude that just got in that little kid's face and told that little kid that his parents are going to hell and that he probably is too. That's my dude. That guy's front of the line right now. That guy is just, he's getting all kinds of clout. So there were two very loud preachers. And then the other person that was enormously loud, just like, you couldn't not see him, was this person that was, it was really quite impressive. They had a helmet on and a sandwich board and pants that were, and a shirt, long sleeve shirt that were all covered head to toe with writing. It was just like thick writing, and it was all like conspiracy theory writing. Like, I didn't read it really, but like, you could look at it and see, like, it was like if you looked at something and it was like a word search, and like the first few words that pop out are like vaccine and hoax and COVID and poison and jab and words like that. And then they were walking slowly up and down the pier with a radio in a cart that was blaring Alex Jones, like really, really loudly blaring Alex Jones, who was screaming about all these doctors that have come out with proof that the vaccine is poison and how it's mostly vaccinated people taking up ICU beds right now, which is just, of course, blatantly not true, unless 95% of healthcare professionals are just lying to us when they say, oh no, it's 99% of our ICU beds are unvaccinated people. Somehow Alex Jones has information that it's actually mostly vaccinated people. But it was just this person walking slowly down the pier, covered head to toe in conspiracies, literally wearing conspiracies as clothes, a helmet that was covered in conspiracies, a sandwich board that was all conspiracies, and a long sleeve shirt and pants that was conspiracies. Like a genuine insane person, a genuine person who's really, really struggling with maintaining their grip on objective reality and sanity. I mean, it's a sad image, you know, a genuinely like upsetting, dark image. But I was struck looking at this person and looking at the preachers because I was thinking, what makes them think this is an effective way of getting the message out? And I was struck with this idea that these people are a visual representation of the internet, that the thing that's so bizarre about contending with these people in comment sections and, you know, in chat rooms and stuff like that is they seem, even on the internet, they seem so obviously unhinged. You know, there's entire subreddits dedicated to these people. There's entire subreddits that are, the entire point of the subreddit is to say, like, there's thousands of these people out there generating memes and posts that are so objectively removed from rationality and insanity, but they seem to have like enough support. You know, it seems to be like they've found a community somehow. They've found heroes in people like Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and the late terrible Rush Limbaugh that make them feel validated. And these were all loud, obnoxious, insane people. And I don't know, I was just, I saw this person and I was like, that person looks like a living, breathing personification of the internet. Walking down this pier slowly, blaring Alex Jones out of a radio, sandwich boarded with conspiracy theories. Like, the loudest, most obnoxious, most assertive people are the wrongest people. And I know wrongest isn't a word. Calm down. But it just worked with the flow of what I was saying. They're the most profoundly and obviously wrong people. And what is that? Like what, like, so how do you contend with that? What is the best way to contend with that? Because all of the people who are trying to share real information about vaccines and about who is actually taking up ICU beds are coming at it from a very level-headed, calm place, you know, that you can see doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. You can see they're visibly frustrated. Pardon me. They're visibly frustrated and understandably frustrated. You can see that, but they're not screaming and ranting and raving and using really loud filters and really over dramatic song choices and like the whole Hunger Games Mockingjay thing. Like, it's so over the top and dramatic. The thing where the people hold up the three fingers on TikTok and do the whistle because they're not getting vaccinated, and it's like this salute of solidarity, this salute of stupidity. It's so brazen and theatrical and over the top and loud, and it's almost like holding a neon sign that just says, like, I'm an idiot. It's these people that drive down the street in a lifted truck with giant flags, giant, massive Trump flags blaring off the back of their truck with a thin blue line flag in the middle of the two Trump flags. You know, they got a Trump 2020 flag and a Trump 2024 flag and a thin blue line flag in between them. And it's like, well, the 2021's kind of irrelevant now. I'm not sure what you think's going to happen in 2024. You know, also like the thin blue line one doesn't really make sense because you were probably supporting the people who were beating police officers to death on January 6th. You probably laughed as those police officers gave testimony and were crying in court. But they're very loud and brazen. So I guess my question is, what's the best way to contend with these people? Because I've sort of taken a method online of engaging in kind of fun, musical, dancey mocking, and I get a lot of flack for that. That people say, ah, that's not going to actually reach anyone. It's just going to further divide people. It's going to be more divisive. And maybe it is. But what I think a lot about Mike Judge's movie Idiocracy. I talked about this last week on the climate change episode, but if the idiots are the loudest and most brave, you know, like, and we could say they're harmless, but they're not, though, right? Like this Greg Locke guy, like, yeah, there were a couple preachers on this pier and they were yelling at people and no one was really listening to them. They weren't popular, but you see these videos of super churches, like these people can find an audience. Tucker Carlson has managed to find an audience. Alex Jones has an audience. He has an audience that dwarfs mine. Do I need to be more like Alex Jones? Do I need to be the kind of voice that a person could put in a cart and walk down the street and have me blaring at full volume, screaming at people, please, you gotta get vaccinated. You gotta get vaccinated, folks. It's a free, safe vaccine. Is that what needs to happen? I don't know. Is that the idea? Is it even the idea that we're supposed to be contending with these people? That's kind of the idea today. I don't know. It's just sort of a thought that I had rattling around that I thought we could talk about. Let's move over here to the TikTok. We got a lot of people asking questions. Let's see what people are talking about. Cued Saul says, no, that is not what is needed. I think I agree. I don't think that we need to try to figure out a way to be as loud and as like wild and unhinged as they are in order to compete with a message. It's just weird because it's kind of like, where are we losing them? Where's the disconnect? You know? And it's so easy. It's such low-hanging fruit to just say, like, they're just idiots. Like, they, you know, they like WWE Raw, and they need something that has a lot of, they like monster trucks, and they need noise and electric guitar, and they need something that feels like a SmackDown, you know, and intellectual discourse just is like ambient to them. And that feels like going for low-hanging fruit and oversimplifying and maybe strawmanning or oversimplifying, but also it's like, it's not though, right? Like, that's kind of what it is, right? Like, they need it in a simpler, stupider package. And how do you get the good information into that package? Is there a way to package it in a more digestible way? We talked about this on the COVID episode with Dr. Eric, where he was like, it's just that the anti-vax message is easier to digest. It's like more entertaining. It's more like dramatic and fun. And the pro-science message is harder to understand. When you try to explain to someone how mRNA vaccines work, someone who has no background in that kind of research or lab study or lab work, it just doesn't make sense. And when you give them a more like fun kind of conspiracy storyline and you package it with lots of like loud noises and fun music and hand gestures and symbols where everyone holds up three fingers and they're all part of a club where they get to be in rebellion against the powers that be, it's more fun. How can we package the rational message so that it gets through? Because that's what I'm wondering is, where's the disconnect? Where are we missing people? How are we losing so many people? Fonduli says, maybe it's religious thinking. They don't need science when they have belief. I can see that. But also, I think on another level, so yeah, like, I don't need science, I don't have facts, I have faith. I have faith that I'm going to be taken care of. You see these people who say, I have faith, I have an immune system. God gave me an immune system, I don't need a vaccine. Although, that's such a slap in the face to God, because it's like, well, didn't God create the brain, which helped man discover certain scientific laws and theories that led to breakthroughs in medication and medicine, leading to eventually the first vaccines being developed and the eradication of certain diseases that were wiping out millions of people? Didn't God then create the domino effect that led to vaccine creation? And aren't you sort of spitting in the face of God when you... So you see that, but I want to take this to another level, because I definitely think there are those people who think, I don't need to rely on science or studies, I just rely on my faith, which, you know, I think is interesting because, yeah, like, I think science, obviously, if there is a God, if there is intelligent design, it would make sense that science works in tandem with that intelligent design, not in spite of it, not like at odds with it. But I'm going to take this to another level where religious thinking is one of responding to grand storylines and theatrical presentation. There's a lot of theater in religion. There's a lot of dressing up in ritualistic like uniform, and there's hierarchy, and there's a certain theatricality to the presentation. And each and different churches have their different ways of doing this, but like the person at the front, usually a dude, has some kind of different outfit on from everyone else. Sometimes it's very grand and very like showy. It's a very showy outfit with lots of like sparkly things and necklaces and a very fancy hat. And they have these rituals. They speak in another language. Sometimes, if you've ever been to Catholic Mass, I think it's very funny. Not funny in a sense that people's beliefs are funny, but I just think I don't know what it's actually like to go through and become a priest, but it seems at some point during your education that you are taught to just pick moments of your homily and of your addressing the audience to just sing. And it seems like they're very arbitrary. Like, you can just be talking and you'll be like, "I'm so glad everyone is here in the house of the Lord today." And it's just that. It's not like a song that everyone knows. It's not like, "Hey, and oh, what a beautiful morning to be here at Mass. Hi, welcome. I'm Father Johnson, and we're so happy to have you." It's just sort of like, "It's so lovely to see you all here in the house that God has built today, everyone. I'm so happy that you're here in your pews." It's really great. I see the Nilsson family over here looking wonderful. "It's lovely to see you. I'm so happy that you came back. It's been so long since we've seen you, but I know you only come on Christmas and Easter, and that's okay. I still love you." Have you ever seen them do that? Have you ever been to Catholic Mass? They do that. I'm not exaggerating. The guy will just start singing. And it doesn't seem like there's a rhyme or reason to when he sings. It's just sort of, if he feels moved to sing, he will just sort of sing. And it's not singing that's like impressive. It's just sort of talking in a singing way. Like, I'm going to keep talking, but I'm just going to sort of sing what I'm talking. I'm just going to talking about people on the internet. "And I saw this man on the pier, and he was shouting at people." yeah. But that's what I mean when I'm talking about religious thinking, that there's a certain sort of person who is raised to respond to information delivered as truth, as ironclad truth, that is delivered in a showy, presentational, theatrical way. You respond to a person getting very emotional when they're giving you their thing. And I'll tell you, I heard the voice of God. And he came down and he said, "Greg, you got to start living your life a different way." And I said, "I know, God. I know, but I don't know if I can." They respond to that. They respond to this sort of heightened, manipulative sort of, and hey, look, I've cried on this goddamn podcast before, but not when I'm trying to sell you on some kind of idea, just because sometimes I get moved by the things that people share with me. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with crying. I'm just saying that it goes into the theatricality of the way a message is presented in church. We're getting comments. We need more manipulative music. Uneasy Speakeasy says, "Is this Catholic Mass or a musical? Are we about to flash mob right now?" Yeah, I never had been to Catholic Mass until I started dating Mary, and now I've been to Catholic Mass several times. And my first few times going, not because she's religious, but her family attends on Christmas, and there have been some weddings that we've gone to and things like that. But I was always like so shocked when he would just start singing. So I don't know. Maybe that's why I sing some of my messages, is I feel like people respond better to like something that's presented in a more heightened way. Like, I can talk about vaccine information while singing about it. I don't know. Danny A. Khalil says, I keep losing it. I agree about theatrics. Conspiracy theories play on people's desire for meaning behind boring stuff. Yeah, I think that that's it too, is that the conspiracy theory is just more fun. A, it's easier to digest. It's easier to digest than actually like reading through medical journals and figuring out like what the process is for filling out a death certificate, how they determine cause of death when someone dies, reading into the decades of research that went into developing the current vaccines that are being used to treat the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead of reading all of that, it's kind of more fun to be like, here's what happened. They went down and made a deal in Wuhan. They said, we're going to zap some rats with a top secret satellite, but that way they won't know, because we can't have the scientists knowing that we're doing it either, because it'll get out. But we're going to zap them with a top secret satellite, and that satellite's going to inject them with a gamma ray that is going to mutate their DNA, and then we're going to sneak into the lab after hours and take some of the rat's droppings and put it in the food of one of the employees. Bing, bada, boom. We got ourselves a pandemic. Like, it's something that you could make a movie out of, you know? It's something that it makes them feel like, I don't know. The actual story's pretty damn interesting too. The fact that like modern industry infringing on environmental areas where we're not supposed to be puts humans in contact with viruses that we previously wouldn't have been in contact with. And the fact that like modern industry and climate change has a direct tie to pandemics, and people have been warning about this for decades, and then it happened. Like, that's an interesting story. I don't know. I go, why do we need to package it in fantasy and in lies in order for it to be palatable? And obviously, I'm talking like we're losing most people. The reality is, I think globally, it's probably something like a 65-35 split, and 65% get it. Might even be more. Might even be like globally like a 70-30 split. In the US, it feels awfully close to 50-50. It feels awfully close. It feels like 55-45, you know? I still think the people who get it are in the majority, thankfully. But boy, it's like it's depressing how close it feels to 50-50 in the US. And that makes you go like, well, so what are we missing? Because even if it is 70-30, that's not good enough. We need to get that down to at least 80-20, you know? I was promised a stake center. That's funny. Because if you don't know, stake centers are like a Mormon thing. So I think that's funny. And you spelled it stake, STEAK, like the meat. But stake center is like where in Mormonism, there are wards and there are stakes. So a stake is made up of wards. A ward is like a parish. It's like a place where people go to church, like a group of people that go to church, they're a ward. And a group of wards is a stake. Just so you know, a little bit of Mormon weirdness. This person said, it's about who tells the more interesting story. So is that the key? Is just figuring out how to package this stuff in a more digestible, fun way. Bill Nye the Science Guy, for lack of a better term. But even Bill Nye the Science Guy, in his old age, has become increasingly frustrated with delivering the message in a fun, easily digestible way. I love the way that he's delivering it these days, where he'll just tell people, you're a fucking idiot. And he'll just be like, how the fuck are you this stupid? He'll explain it like he used to. He'll be like really nice. He'll go, and here's why this works this way. And here's why this works, you fucking idiot. And he'll like get really mad. And it's really fun to see Bill Nye do that. But then a lot of people will go like, oh, you can't do that. We're not going to get through to them if we're mean. I don't know, though. Do we have to coddle these people and give them coloring books? And like, what is it? And I know I sound like I'm being very derogatory and I'm generalizing, but I am. I feel like we are beset by a plague of stupidity, and it's literally killing people and killing the planet. So what do we got to do to package the message and get through to more people? I don't know. Shanae Nadine, our friend Shanae, who was on a few episodes ago, says, you never know what's going to make it click for someone. Keep speaking truth, making art and music. I agree. I agree. The best thing to do is to keep on being consistent with the message. When I work in the program that I work on for my sobriety, when I work with other people who are struggling with sobriety, something that a person who's helped me a lot in my journey told me early on is when I first started working with other guys, he told me, just be consistent. Just be consistent with your message. Because I'm working with people who are insane. They're very deep in their disease and they're not thinking clearly. And so a lot of times I'll be working with really erratic people and people who are doing everything they can to intentionally not get what I'm telling them. And what I'm telling them is really simple. I'm just going, listen, keep coming back to this place every day. Come back to this place at this time every day. When I call you on the phone, answer, and call me on the phone every single day. I might not always answer when you call me, but I want you to call me on the phone every single day. Call other people on the phone every single day. Ask them how they're doing. Don't just tell them about your day. Ask them how they're doing and see if you can be of service in that way. So those are your things. Be of service. Show up to this place. Go to meetings. Answer the phone when I call you and call me on the phone every single day and call other people on the phone. That's it. And then, you know, meditate and pray. But we'll get to that stuff later. But like, you know, do some meditation and prayer, simple things, and just be consistent with that because they're going to continue to come back with more and more rebuttals and more ways to work around it. Well, what if I just do the phone call thing? Can I get sober that way? Nope. Got to do the meetings too. And most likely you'll probably have to do this step work and like be of service too. And your best shot's going to be if you do all the things. Okay. What if I just meditate? Can I just do it with meditation? You can try, but I don't think that's going to work. And just be consistent. Just continue stating the message consistently, simply, clearly. Don't get frustrated. Just continue saying the message over and over and over again. Keep coming back, service, phone calls, simple things, basic things. And I think it's the same thing with this stuff. Just keep stating it. Just keep stating the simple fact that the overwhelming majority of people in the ICU right now are unvaccinated people. The overwhelming majority of those people are stating that they wished they had gotten the vaccine, that they feel bad, that they feel like they were duped, that they feel bad that they got sucked in by bad information, and just keep stating that information. Keep stating it. Keep pointing out the problems with the police in the United States and police in a lot of countries, but particularly in the United States. The fact that the police are a foundationally white supremacist institution, they cannot be divorced from their white supremacy. They exist to brutalize the communities that they are constantly policing and to terrorize people. They exist to enforce the will of the ruling class. They do not serve and protect. They have a terrible track record with actually solving crime and bringing criminals to justice. Most of what they do is just brutalize and terrorize innocent people. Keep stating that. Keep sharing the videos. Keep repeating the truth. Just keep stating it. Just keep saying the truth over and over and over again. And just as frustrating as it is, keep repeating to people that trans women are women, trans men are men, that like this is, that these people have always existed, they've always been with us, and that societal norms are something that we have created, that we have, that are not based in anything other than our creation, you know? And it's hard for a lot of people. It can be very hard. People fight to protect their ignorance. People really, really fight to protect their ignorance. I see that a lot where like you make a really clear case for something and then people will intentionally miss all of the points you made. They won't even address them. They'll just completely move right through them because to address those points, to actually acknowledge those points is too painful. So they just can't. And I know that because I used to be that person. I used to be a person who lived in that space of, and I've been that person many times in my life. I've been the person who has been vigorously protecting his ignorance only to a few weeks later down the road or a few months later down the road or a few years later down the road go, damn it, you know what? They were always right. And I knew it. I knew they were right and I didn't want to. And so I fought tooth and nail to protect my ignorance. People want to protect their ignorance because their ignorance is their current state. And your current state always has the illusion of being more comfortable than a new place. And we will do whatever we can to avoid discomfort. We have an addiction to comfort. Obviously, you know, That's not going to be on the show. I'm going to edit out all that space, and then I'm going to cut right back in right when I clear my throat, and I'm going to do a loop of it, and I'm going to loop me clearing my throat for 5 minutes. I appreciate the comments and the conversation. Good conversation. I'm not sure what the answer is frequently. That's what I'm doing on the show, is just posing a question and not knowing the answer. How do we package the story? How do we package the information so that it's more digestible, and so that it's not just that the loudest voices aren't the most wrong voices? Thank you for your feedback, and everyone. Thanks, Sweet Mama J, for being here and for trying to answer questions when I couldn't. And I appreciate everyone's interaction today. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or looking up Austin Archer wherever you stream music. I got that new album out. Go check it out. austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. Go check out my new album, please. patreon.com/austinarcher as well if you want to support the show. My music and this podcast are mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. Chris is the best in the business. We love Chris. He wants to work with you. If you're a person who's got an audio project, a podcast, an album, a song, anything, go to themarmalademusic.com. Tell him that you heard his music on this show, that you loved it, and Chris is going to give you 20% off your first project. You got to go do that. It's a fantastic deal. Thanks, everyone, for being here. This was a lot of fun, and I hope you had fun as well. Love you so much. We'll see you next week with a great new guest. Okay, bye-bye.